on this Stewardship Sunday, the Word of God that guides us is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where St. Paul writes, Christ died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. We examine this text under the theme, Faithful Stewards, Live for Jesus. Today, I'm going to begin with a question. Think about this. If Jesus were coming over to your house for dinner, what would you serve him? What would you serve him? Would you simply go to your refrigerator, pull out last night's leftovers, stick them in the microwave, and serve Jesus on a paper plate? Not gonna happen, right? There's no way you would do that. My guess is that you would run to the grocery store, pick up all the necessary ingredients, and prepare a delicious 5-star meal. Then you would tidy up your house and get out that brand new tablecloth, get out your fancy dishes and silverware, and have things looking real nice. After all, if you're going to have a guest of honor like Jesus, you will give him your very best. And yet, let's think for a moment about our daily lives. If we're honest, don't we often give Jesus our leftovers? Whether it's our time, our talents, or our treasures, we often put ourselves and our own needs before the Lord and before the needs of others. Serving God by serving those in need is something we might do occasionally when it's convenient, but it certainly isn't a top priority for us. Rather than giving God our tithes and then paying our bills, giving to the Lord is often just an afterthought. Sure, we manage to give God a little something, a token reminder that we're still a follower of Jesus. But all too often, one can hardly call our giving a demonstration of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. My friends, we tend to be very self-centered. Such self-centeredness on our part is not really surprising. That's because we live in a culture that teaches us that it's all about me. Yes, a life of service is contrary to what our society promotes. We are told by the world that we should aspire for fame, fortune, and power. After all, whoever dies with the most toys wins, right? Serving self rather than serving God is the way of our sin-fallen world today. But really, you think about it, it's nothing new. It's been that way from the very beginning. Indeed, Scripture teaches us that God created the heavens and the earth and made man in his own image. The world was perfect. There was no sin. God also made woman to be man's helper and gave them dominion over the earth. Adam and Eve were to be good managers or stewards of all that God created. And they were to live in harmony with God, their creator, and with one another. Yet, we know what happened, don't we? Adam and Eve were deceived by the devil, by Satan, who appeared to them in the form of a serpent and turned their backs on God. Yes, Adam and Eve turned their backs on God and on his holy will and on his holy ways. They plunged our world into sin and selfishness, death and destruction. Graciously, however, God, right there in Genesis chapter 1, promised to send a Savior. He promised the Messiah. And Scripture tells us that when the fullness of time had come, our God sent forth his Son, Jesus, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem us who are under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. Yes, we are sinners, but we have a Savior. He died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead for our forgiveness and salvation. Jesus received the punishment we deserved for our sin, our guilt, and our shame. And he has reconciled us with God. Jesus laid down his life and bought us back so that we're no longer slaves to sin and death, but we're free to live new lives for him. Yes, we are the blood-bought children of God. And we can be certain of that because of our baptism. You're reminded of it every time you come into Mount Moriah. Before you enter the sanctuary, that font stands there as a reminder of who you are. The blood-bought children of God, who have been united with Christ in his death and raised with Christ in his resurrection and gifted with the Holy Spirit so you can live new lives for Christ. New lives as managers of all God's blessings, of all God's good gifts to you. Yes, redeemed by the blood of Jesus, we're now called to live not for self, but for Christ. In the second article of the Apostles' Creed, Martin Luther captured this reality so very well. I said his explanation, didn't I? The explanation of the second article. You're all familiar with it. It goes like this. Jesus Christ has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Why? That I may be his own, live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Jesus has bought us back from sin and death. Jesus has freed us from the slavery of sin and selfishness. Now we can live each day seeking to follow Christ's example of service. Serving our Heavenly Father by serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, powered by the Spirit, we can remember and live out the words of Jesus in our gospel reading. Were you listening? Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So living as faithful stewards, faithful managers of all God's good gifts, means following Jesus' example of sacrificial service to those around us. It means, in the words of our text, no longer live for ourselves, but for him who for our sake died and was raised. We're called to put selfishness aside. Instead of living for self, we live for Christ. Instead of it being all about me, it's all about serving others, knowing that Jesus loves them and died for them. So is that easy? Not a chance. The devil, the world, and our sinful flesh constantly tempt us to put ourselves before God. The devil, the world, and our sinful flesh constantly tempt us to put our own needs before the needs of others. My friends, God hasn't said, pull yourselves up by your bootstraps and live a new life for me. What God has done is he's given us his Holy Spirit that we received in our baptism. And it's that Holy Spirit who works through God's holy word and his life-giving sacraments so that each day serving yourself can decrease and serving your neighbor and serving God by serving your neighbor can increase. Yes, it's the Holy Spirit who equips us and empowers us to put serving God with our time and our talents and our treasures as a top priority in our life. It's the Spirit who enables us to pick up our cross and follow the example that Jesus set for us, the example of service. Now, there's many of those examples out there in the New Testament. But what about the one he set on Maundy Thursday, the Thursday of Holy Week? Remember? Jesus got up from that table and he did what? He washed his disciples' dirty, stinking feet. And then he said to them, when he spoke to them, he spoke to you and to me. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That's what stewardship is. It's a life of washing feet. It's a life of humbling yourself and serving the Lord by serving the needs of others. Wait a minute, Pastor. I think there's something you're forgetting this morning. Oh yeah? What's that? Well, have you forgotten, Pastor, that you're talking about stewardship during tough economic times? I mean, Pastor, haven't you gone and put gas in your car recently? The price is so high. Have you gone to the grocery store? Food is outrageously priced. Everything seems to be going up and up. Well, my friends, absolutely. There's no question that you and I are living in difficult and challenging economic times. But you know what? This is when the devil prowls around. Prowls around like a roaring lion, tempting us to cut back on our giving and support of the ministry of our church and cut back on our giving and support of the hurting and broken in our community. The devil says, oh, hoard it. Keep it for yourself. But let's not forget what God says. Remember these words of Jesus. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Wow. What's Jesus saying? He's reminding us that we have a creator God who sustains and takes care of all his creation, including little old you and little old me. Yes, God's going to continue to provide for all our needs. He's going to take care of our families. And that means we can count on God to provide for all our needs, and therefore we can continue to give God a generous portion of his good gifts to us. We can continue to give God our first fruits, not our leftovers, ever trusting and ever believing that God will always provide for all our needs of our bodies and our souls. Yes, my friends, even in tough economic times, we can put the needs of others before ourselves. Even in tough economic times, we can make giving to the Lord and thanksgiving for his many blessings as top priority in our life. Giving to God, top priority. Now think about that. Hasn't God given us his very best? He knit us together, each one of us, inside of our mother's wombs. The Bible says that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. God also redeemed us in the precious blood of his only son. Yeah, his son didn't redeem us with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood. He gave us his life. He gave us his very best. And he also gave us his Holy Spirit, who enables us to say no to sin and no to the temptations of the devil, and yes, to glorifying Christ and thanksgiving for the free gift of eternal life through the God-pleasing stewardship of God's gifts of our time, our talents, and our treasures. So let us leave today determined to keep God first, and to seek to glorify God by serving him as we serve our neighbor, by serving him as we provide for the needs of our congregation, giving God our first fruits, ultimately in thanksgiving for his gift of forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation in his dear Son, our Savior, Jesus. May God grant it for Jesus' sake in your life and in mine. Amen.